And welcome to Cincinnati, where the Pirates take on the Cincinnati Reds here at Great American Ballpark, the finale of the three-game series. Pirates look for the sweep. They're the hottest team in baseball. Last night's 6-2 win. Bucks have won 8 in a row, 10 of 11, and 14 of their last 22 ball games. And we're on the telephone line with the Pirates general manager. The Neil Huntington Show comes your way every Sunday. Neil, I want to talk to you about the club in general, your thoughts as we go kind of week to week as we head down toward the end of the month. But we'd like to ask you about the injury front. Francisco Cervelli, once again on Saturday, resumed baseball activities. He was taking ground balls at first base. He was in the batting cage briefly. We saw that. He said after the game that he feels good. He says he's close, ahead of schedule. Get your thoughts, if we can, on Cervelli. And he also reiterated how much he loves to catch. Neil, I asked him the other day when I first saw him taking ground balls at first, said, "You like first base?" He goes, "No, I love to catch." So anyway, give us an update, if you would, on Cervelli.
Yeah, Francisco continues to do everything in his power. He feels great. He's been adamant behind the scenes from the second day after that he feels much better each day comparatively than he did last time. Got the clearance to begin exerting himself physically. And again, we'll keep our fingers crossed that the symptoms will stay subsided. He's working hard. He is feeling great. He's obviously taking ground balls at first base. The next set of challenges is, again, just trying to keep him in baseball shape, and then determining how long he's been down and how quickly we're going to be able to get him back out there safely. He does still want to catch, very much so he wants to catch. He loves to help those pitchers. He loves the leadership role of that position. He also loves to swing the bat and has done a great job there this year. And so there may be some times where we're able to keep his bat in the lineup by playing him at first base and keep Elias Diaz, his bat in the lineup as well.
Neil, I was going to ask if there's any room at first base right now these days, the way Josh Bell is hitting.
No, and that's a great sign with Josh just hitting the ball hard all over the place, giving us good at bat after good at bat. He's on a nice roll here. So, again, how the picture can change in a couple of weeks' time. And young players tend to be streaky, and the best in our game, it seems like we talk about this every Sunday, the best in our games or the good ones in our game, they figure out how to keep those bad stretches short and the good stretches long, and Josh is beginning to mature into that.
Neil, when it comes to this catching situation and the concussions, I don't know if we discussed this on your show at all, but I had a really interesting conversation that we recorded with Mike Matheny when he was managing when the Pirates were in St. Louis several weeks ago, and he went into great detail about why he ended up having to step away from the game, the concussions, and what it did to, you know, not only to his baseball career, but to his life. And you have talked about that you said, I think, a couple of weeks ago on your show, that Cervelli is going to be a non-baseball player a lot longer than he is a baseball player active on the field. So how does baseball address this? How can the Pirates or any team afford the risk of having a guy like Cervelli catch under these circumstances?
Well, the great first step was the creation of the 7-day disabled list, because most concussions, and there's no perfect answer, they're not all 7 days. Sometimes it's 3 days and the player spends an extra 4 days on the DL. Sometimes it's longer than 7 days, as we experienced last time with Francisco. I think it was ended up being 16 days. But back under the old 15-day disabled list, now again, we've moved it down to 10 days, which it's not as big a deal, but the first DL list that came along that was shorter than 15 was the 7-day DL. So clubs were able to take that catcher who had been hit in a backswing or been hit by a couple of foul balls off the mask and just didn't feel right, went through the concussion protocol. That was a great another step, was to implement the concussion protocol, and some of this will now be out of our hands. Some of this is out of our hands. When a player shows concussion symptoms, there is a protocol in place mandated by the league, and there are things that each club needs to do to be able to get that player back on the field, even if he doesn't go on the concussion DL. So those two steps should really help us. Now, when a player gets repeated concussions, as Francisco, four times in 2 years, obviously each one is concerning in and of itself. You add multiple ones to it, and it really catches your attention. And an injury to any other body part needs time to heal, and you don't want to run the risk of re-injury by putting a player out there too soon. Those challenges are exacerbated when you start to talk about concussions and injuries to the head and injuries to the brain. And so we want to be ultra conservative with this. At the same time, these guys want to get back out there. They want to go compete. They want to help their team win. You bet Francisco Cervelli wants to jump back out and help this club as it's on a roll. And that's where we're going to have to continue to be smart. And we're also going to have to make sure we continue to follow Major League Baseball protocols.
Do you think, Neil, that does it help at all? That's a silly question, to not play a guy as much behind the plate. I mean, that, you know, because it's so random. It's not like, you know, oh, well, we're going to play him, you know, twice a week. That will help. It really doesn't, just because you never know when you're going to take a foul ball off the mask.
Exactly. And that's what makes this situation so challenging, is the longer we give him to rest, the better he's going to feel. But he's going to get to a point in time where he feels 100%. And he may go 3 weeks without a foul ball off the mask. He may go 3 months without a foul ball off the mask. Unfortunately, in his first game back, he took a foul ball off the mask. He took several more over the course of that short time that he was back healthy again, took several more off the mask. He's gone stretches where he's, you know, a very long time without getting a ball off the mask, and then he's gone stretches where he'll get four or five in a game. It is random. It is out of our control, and we wish we could sit here and tell you that if we gave him 14 days, he would be at less risk than if we gave him 10 days, or we gave him 19 days, he'd be at less risk than if we gave him 14 days. The reality is we get him healthy, he clears all the protocol, we may even take a little bit longer than we need to, but the challenge is he takes a ball off the mask, he may not have symptoms. He takes the next ball off the mask, he may not have symptoms. He may have it on the fourth or fifth one, or he may have it on the first one, and that's the hardest part about this, is we need to get him back to the threshold. And then when he gets to that threshold, how much longer is it going to be before he takes the ball off the mask and he has symptoms again? Hopefully not for the rest of the year, but it may not. We may not be so lucky.
All right, we're going to continue with the Pirates general manager. We have a few other questions regarding some injuries for the Pirates, who are the hottest team in baseball, as we mentioned. They start this day winners of 8 in a row and 10 of their last 11. As Ivan Nova starts against Matt Harvey in the finale of this series, and the trip continues into Cleveland for Interleague Baseball starting Monday night, a three-game series, which will finish up on Wednesday afternoon, then the Pirates back home starting on Thursday night against the New York Mets. We will have more talking on the telephone line with the Pirates general manager. The Neil Huntington Show continues in just a moment here on the Pirates Baseball Network. We are back here in Cincinnati, the Pirates and the Reds. Bucks look for the sweep with Ivan Nova on the hill against Matt Harvey, and we're talking about Francisco Cervelli during much of that first segment. What about Josh Harrison? This is one of those touchy situations, the tight hamstring. You didn't want to DL him. At this point, it looks as though there's no reason to disable Josh Harrison.
He just continues to feel better each day. As we went into the All-Star break, as Josh left Sunday, it seemed really likely that he was going to be a disabled list. If nothing else, to take advantage of the four down days. As we connected with him on Thursday at the workout in Cincinnati, he was markedly better than any of us had anticipated. He pushed to give him one more day. Unfortunately, the rains hit yesterday. We weren't able to get, on Friday, the rains hit. We weren't able to get the work done that we were hoping to get done to really, truly be able to test it. But he was much better than we thought on Friday. So a really good day on Thursday, a good day on Friday. Still not game ready, but took swings, moved around well, had another good day yesterday on Saturday, moved around well, felt much better than we anticipated. The challenge is the 10-day DL. You don't want to get to sit the final 6 days healthy. That's where we made the pitching move in Tanner Anderson, optioning him, despite a really good offense here in Cincinnati, a very good team in Cleveland as we head there. We thought maybe we'd carry 13 pitchers and 12 position players through the American League City. But with Josh and potentially being able to play on Sunday and some role off the bench or more likely on Monday, we decided let's make the pitching move. We'll stay with a four-man bench plus Josh when he's able to be out there and be healthy, and hopefully he'll be back in the lineup here sooner than later.
Neil, how about the Sean Rodriguez story? What did you think when you saw that on Friday?
Just so much fun to see. I thought, man, when he caught the tough break, when he hit that ball on the screws and Suarez made a nice play and robbed him of a double, and then thought there was a little bit of justice in the game when he hit the roller between short and third for the RBI. Really excited for Sean when he hit the home run. Looks better, feels better, moving around. For a veteran with the years in the game that he has to be willing to say, you know what, I need to go back to ground zero. I need to go back and work. And not only go back and work, but the timing of it really wasn't great because he got a handful of games in Indianapolis. They went on their all-star break. And Sean said, I want to keep playing. And when we said, Sean, it's A-ball. It's going to be very different than AAA competition and command and consistency. And he said to us that he wanted to just continue to play. We flew him to Bradenton. He played a couple of games down there and said, you know what, you're right. If I can get back to AAA, stayed in AAA through the end of what was our all-star break, rejoined the club, and just brings a breath of fresh air and good to see that he had success in AAA, hit a couple home runs, hit 250, was able to put the ball on the screws a handful of times, and just showed that a cluster of at-bats can help. He's still a great athlete, still a terrific man, and our belief was and still is that he's got some useful baseball ahead of him.
Now, it's only a couple games, so I don't want to get carried away, but could this be a lesson? Should this be a lesson for veterans who maybe struggle? And, yeah, he had a little bit of the issue that landed him on the DL, but this was also an opportunity where he got at bats, maybe more so than the injury itself.
It was, and that's the hard part for any role player is the consistency of the at-bats and all the work that you do pregame, all the work that you do in the tunnel, out of the public's eye. How do you know if it's paying off if you're not getting game at-bats or if you're getting a game at-bat here or one game a week there? Those role players, they have a really hard time digging themselves out of holes. And you know, Sean being willing to take the time to go back down and get a cluster of at-bats, you hope that maybe there's a lesson here for those struggling veteran role players that if I can get a cluster of at-bats, if they have something that allows them to go get a cluster of at-bats like Sean did, that may be the best thing for their career. And for that regular player that's scuffling, maybe not the best thing, but for that role player that's scuffling, and that's what we've talked about with our young players, with the Osunas and the Frazier's and the Austin Meadows, and we're going to have to be careful with Jordan Luplow, and even in the past with Elias Diaz, it's tough to take a young prospect or a young player that's ready to play at the major league level or just about ready to play at the major league level and play them sporadically. It's awfully tough to do that as a veteran, let alone as a young player. So, yes, to see Sean be willing to go back and to get rewarded for it, it is only a couple of games, but there seems to be more connection to the swing. There seems to be an adjustment that he's made that's going to allow that barrel that he has to play better.
What's the latest, Neil, with Jung Ho Gung? He's still not played. It's past the All-Star game now.
Yeah, he is. We put him in a rest period because he had some pain in that wrist that continued. He's starting to work back through and get started in baseball activities. So the good news was he came out of the rest period feeling pretty good. Now that it's day-to-day build-up and trying to get him back into baseball activity.
You feel like then that's all it's going to take now, kind of like a second spring training for him?
Well, we'll see. Again, the wrist is always a challenging one for a hitter. The pitchers, you always worry about shoulders and elbows. The hitters, you worry about wrists and backs. And so we're hoping that the rest and the therapy that Gong has gone through is going to be enough to keep that wrist healthy. But time will tell as we begin to build up the baseball activity.
Neil, you mentioned Jordan Luplow, and that was one of the questions I had for you. He is almost in the same situation now that Austin Meadows was in. So what do you do?
Yeah, it's a tough one because we like Jordan a lot and feel that there is still growth and development to be gained from playing him in AAA as we did with Austin. At the same time, Jordan is a nice bat to have off the bench, but there will come a point in time where we may have to rotate through, and whether it's Adam Frazier who's starting to swing the bat better in AAA, or it's Osuna who's actually a little scuffling just a little bit right now for the first time, I think, all year, there may come a point in time where we need to rotate those guys through to keep them sharp, to keep them fresh, and to keep them growing and developing, and also to help them help us keep winning games.
Neil, in terms of Austin Meadows, his attitude, is that fine in your mind?
You know what? No player ever likes to go to AAA. No player that's in AAA wants to be in AAA, whether they're a young stud prospect. They can't wait to get to the big leagues. If they're a veteran, they feel like they're better than some of the guys who are in the big leagues, not just on your team, but on the 29 other clubs. So he wants to be in the big leagues. He feels like he had earned that opportunity, but he also recognizes that Dickerson, Polanco, and Marte are playing really well. He'd absolutely rather be on the bench in the big leagues, and he was very open with that, as any young player would much prefer. But going down, he's gone down to work. He's gone down. He's fit right back in. He's continued to work on the things that he needs to work on so that when he comes up, that first 10 to 14 day stretch where he hit like Babe Ruth is more the guy that we see on a consistent basis than the guy that over the last 4 or 5 weeks was a sub 650 OPS and really struggling. And that was even while he was in that rotation. And again, the last week or so where he didn't play very much, it's hard to make consistent contact, as we just got done talking about with Sean Rodriguez. So in Austin's case, it was even before he fell out of the rotation. The reason he fell out of the rotation is he had begun to struggle. The league had made adjustments to him. So now he's going down there with the knowledge of how the league adjusted and how he's going to be able to punch back when he gets back to the big leagues.
All right, we'll continue with the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show, as the Buccos get ready to take on the Cincinnati Reds here in Cincinnati, Ohio, looking to continue this good roll they've been on. Pirates have won 8 straight and 10 of their last 11 ball games, with Ivan Nova on the hill today against Matt Harvey, and what some people are thinking could be one of Matt Harvey's last starts as a member of the Cincinnati Reds. And we'll continue with the Neil Huntington Show in just a moment here on the Pirates Baseball Network. And we're back on the telephone line. With us is the Bucco general manager, the Neil Huntington Show. Neil, how about the win the other night that took place? When was that? Well, it was the Sunday game. It was after your show, so we haven't had a chance to talk to you about what was one of the wildest, craziest, best comebacks really in the history of PNC Park, and that's not hyperbole.
No, just an absolutely fantastic comeback win, and one of those games that you get halfway through it and you think to yourself, okay, this has been a great run. We've taken 4 from the first place Brewers, including sweeping a doubleheader, which is so incredibly hard to do. And not that you're writing it off, but you're thinking to yourself, okay, we've put ourselves in a much better situation this past week. How do we come out of the All-Star break? Because we've got some history of going into the All-Star break really strong as a team, both in 13-15, I believe it was, and then again in prior to 13, but coming out and taking some lumps coming out of the All-Star break. So the thought was, how do we keep this momentum going forward? But obviously this team had different ideas, and to get it just seemed like big play after big play. To battle back against one of the best bullpens in the National League, if not all of baseball, but to score 1 in the 8th after giving up 3 in the 8th, and then to score 2 in the 9th, to give up 1 in the 10th because the rest of our bullpen was pretty taxed from that doubleheader the day before, and then to score 2 in the bottom of the 10th was just a phenomenal comeback and just a great effort by this club.
Neil, Paul Zeiss, who does a talk show on our flagship station and writes for the Post-Gazette, wrote something the other day for the PG that the not that he writes the headlines, but said the Pirates called Neil Huntington's bluff. Now what? And then Paul went on to say something about that you issued a challenge to the team. Do you feel like you issued a challenge to the team? And even if you didn't mean to, do you think maybe it worked?
Well, I think Josh Bell summed it up correctly, because he had no idea what I'd talked about on the Sunday radio show and the Sunday session with the media. What would that have been, on July 7th or 7th? I guess July 8th, I guess it was. I was very candid in the remarks, and we were at the low point of the season. We were 7 games under 500. We had gone from roughly our first 45 games of playing 9 games over 500 to the next 45-game stretch of playing, substantially under 500, 18 games or whatever it was, under 500 in the same stretch of time. And as we were getting close to the deadline, of course, you get asked that question beginning in June sometimes, what are you going to do with the deadline? And I pointed out that realistically the needle was pointing towards shifting the focus to 19 because we were 7 games under 500, because we were 10-plus games out. I think we were almost 12.5 out of the division and almost 10 out of a wild card, and we were not playing well. We'd had a chance to gain some ground against Los Angeles and Philadelphia and had gotten thumped twice and had lost 3 other times, and things were not looking great. The club absolutely put some things together, reminded us of what they looked like when we got to 9 games over 500 through that first 43 or 44-game stretch. And here we are 2 weeks later. We've gone 10-1. We've closed the gap in the division to 4 games. We're still 8 games out of the division. We're still in fourth place, but we've closed the gap. The wild card, we've climbed one spot. We still sit in sixth place in the wild card, but the gap is 5 games. So a 10-1 stretch has allowed us to close the gap about 4 games in each. The reality is we need to continue to play really good baseball. One great 2-week stretch is awesome, but the playoff teams, they play really good baseball over months and if not a whole season. So it's awesome, and it's great that this club has continued to show resiliency and continue to show battle. It's great to see our young players step up. It's great to see our veteran players step up. And we're going to continue to look to see how we can supplement this group and how we can work to make the right decisions for this organization. And this 2-week stretch has been awesome. Now we need to continue to play winning baseball.
So it sounds like you're going to hold pat until you see what this club does.
Well, and again, even back on the 8th, and I'm going to get crushed for this, we didn't wave the white flag on July 8th. We talked about we needed to take the optimism that we felt coming into the season, and it had turned into realism. As we were at the low point of the season, we were double digits out of a playoff spot, and a 4-4 week where we treaded water wasn't going to keep us alive. And the club has done a remarkable job. They deserve all the credit in the world. It had nothing to do with me. And I think they'll tell you to a man that they just believe in themselves. They believe in each other. They put some things together. We pitched well. We played good defense. We ran the bases well. We swung the bat well. And now we need to continue to do that because that's what playoff teams do.
Well, Neil, let's just ask you this then. Let's just say the Pirates win back-to-back series. You're 10 days away. They say they win a series in Cleveland. Say they win 3 of 4 against the Mets. That takes you to the deadline Tuesday the 31st, play against the Cubs. Would you feel the need at that point to say, you know, I need to reward these guys? Even if it wasn't a challenge, I got to do something for these guys.
We always want to do what we can to help the club. And there's been a couple of moves so far with the clubs that are in the inside, that are in a legitimate playoff hunt. And we will look to. We absolutely will look to. We've been having those conversations, I think, to the mockery of some that write and talk about the club. And we have the ability to continue those conversations and have been continuing those conversations. And we always need to look to do what we believe to be the right thing for this organization. And we would love to add. And if there's something out there that makes sense and makes us better, we're absolutely open to that.
All right. We'll continue with the Pirates general manager, Neil Huntington Show. The Pirates general manager on the telephone line with us. We're in Cincinnati. The Pirates and the Reds. Bucks look to continue this role that they're on, and we'll continue with the Neil Huntington Show on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back in Cincinnati and finishing things up with the Bucko general manager, the Neil Huntington Show, Pirates and Reds, here again in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Neil, just when we were leaving there before that last break, and maybe I ask you this every year, I think, you know, probably every general manager in baseball dreads this time of year. You've discussed this openly. It is fun for fans and for members of the media, for us. In fact, Bob Walk and I were talking about this on the radio side the other night, that, you know, this time of year, it's almost like Christmas for a baseball fan. Yes, these players are human beings. They are people. But we all love playing the role of general manager, and I'm sure you did too when before you actually became a GM. You loved the idea of maybe becoming one someday.
Yeah, Absolutely. And that's what drives this game is fans' enthusiasm, fans' attachment, fans' love for their team, love for their players, and that's huge. And that's a big part of why we get to do this. My challenge becomes when we do forget that these are people, when they're referred to as pieces, when they're referred to very offhandedly as just a name, you know, they're a widget, and that gets frustrating because these guys are people. They have wives, they have parents, they have kids in some cases, and those wives and kids are very much impacted by the decisions that we make in the general manager's office at this time of year, really any time of the year. And it does get frustrating when somebody randomly throws a name out that we've never even had a remote thought about having a discussion, whether it's a young prospect or it's somebody on our major league club, that they just throw a name out. And that gets frustrating because that player's family reads that and they call that player, they text that player, hey, what's going on, what do you know? And it's impossible for us to keep every player up to date of every rumor, of every situation, because there's just so many of them. And again, we get that the fans love it. We get that there's interest because of it. The one challenge is we just hopefully never forget that they're players, they're people, they're not pieces.
We have just about over a minute left, Neil, and I just wondered, because you've brought that up in the past, that you've actually said that to another general manager in the past, hey, should we be talking here? However, has it ever occurred, maybe not with you, but do you know of any examples of where actually a name was thrown out, maybe a general manager calls another guy and says, hey, I heard this player might be available, and even though it was a rumor, hey, let's talk about it?
I'm trying to think if we've had that here. Again, I joke about that every year, that we'll read that the media thinks that we're getting really close on a deal, and I'll call the other general manager and ask if we should be talking about something because the media seems to think that we're really close to finaling as a deal, and we'll kind of chuckle at it. Typically, the conversations we've had behind the scenes, whether it's GM to GM or, you know, guys in your office to guys in your office or scouts to scouts, we pretty much know who's available. We know we have a rough idea what the asks are going to be and where there might be matches. And so, no, I don't think we're caught off guard too often. And now we have to chase down rumors when a player's name gets mentioned that we like, that we've been told isn't available. Then you have to double back and you have to do your due diligence to make sure you don't miss something there.
Neil, great stuff as always. We look forward to talking to you next Sunday. I know you look forward to the final show before the trade deadline. Thanks so much, Neil. We look forward to seeing you next homestand.
Thanks, Bradley.
The Neil Huntington Show comes your way every Sunday. The Pirates and Reds are coming your way next. Ivan Nova is on the hill, and he'll be opposed by Matt Harvey. And during our pregame show, we'll talk to Will Craig during our Down on the Farm segment. That's next here on the Pirates Baseball Network.